Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, "You must be born from above," said Jesus. "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." Jesus offers these words of advice to Nicodemus, the Pharisee who believes that Jesus does come from God. Because Nicodemus has seen Jesus perform healings and miracles, he believes that Jesus comes from divine goodness. But Nicodemus can still not quite understand the relationship between Jesus and God. Is Jesus a teacher? A divine healer? A holy prophet? Jesus doesn't fit into Nicodemus's map of reality. Jesus confounds him. So Nicodemus goes to see Jesus under the cover of darkness. And in that dark hush of night, because no one is watching him, Nicodemus is free to be himself. He has room for doubt, for curiosity, for wonder. The whole exchange which follows between Jesus and Nicodemus is about knowledge and ignorance, and the way a commitment to one kind of truth can sometimes blind us to another kind of truth. Nicodemus can't understand who Jesus is because he can't get past that metaphor Jesus wants to use when Jesus is talking about God. Jesus says we must be born twice. But the practical, law-abiding Nicodemus knows that no one can be born twice. Time and space make us bigger, and there's no going back. To Nicodemus, this kind of talk is foolish and nonsensical. It's talk beneath the dignity of a real rabbi or a true prophet. Nicodemus's objections are a perfect match for our 21st century culture, which is so comfortable with scientific knowledge and the logic of the Enlightenment and the value of repeatable truth. According to modern science, if water boils at 212 degrees today, it's going to boil at 212 degrees tomorrow. And if an atom of water has two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen, a molecule of water will always have two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. And this kind of knowledge is concrete and solid and practical. The scientific language is good as far as it goes to describe the natural world. It's repeatable knowledge that is as solid as stone. But what Jesus already knows, and what Nicodemus is only beginning to grasp at, is that this concrete knowing is not the only system of knowledge in our vast universe. Jesus is interested in teaching Nicodemus a very different kind of knowledge. And Jesus uses the metaphor of the wind to talk poetically about this kind of knowledge, the kind that comes from mystical truth and intuitive wisdom and divine revelation. This kind of truth is a living truth, which can be supple or fierce or quiet, more like a river or the wind, not really like stone at all. I think it's interesting to notice that Nicodemus's own logic and clarity about the miracles and the healings that he's witnessed let him know that there's more to this Jesus than he can understand. But his logic cannot take him there. Nicodemus believes enough to be intrigued and impressed, but Nicodemus does not yet believe enough to view the world differently or to alter the map he uses to view his world. He does not yet believe enough to change his own life or alter his own expectations of the world. So Nicodemus goes to see Jesus at night when others cannot recognize him or easily follow him. And he finds Jesus and they begin to talk. In their talk together, Jesus holds up three truths for Nicodemus that Nicodemus and we will need to embrace if we want to follow Christ. The first one is obvious but so important. There is more to being human than physical birth. Physical birth is obviously essential, but all human beings also need a spiritual life. We're not just mammals. We're not just brains on sticks that need to be refueled. We are beings, body and spirit. And Jesus wants Nicodemus to notice that. Without being awake to a spiritual dimension of life, we risk a life where we endlessly consume products and experiences without ever really understanding them. We risk existing without ever being alive or breathing without ever really being awake to the world. Secondly, Jesus wants Nicodemus and us to recognize that there are more truths in life than meet the concrete eye. And there are more truths in this world than truths that can be repeated or truths that can be contained or truths that we control. Living truths like forgiveness or mercy or love or compassion are not measurable in a scientific sense, but they're essential components of any abundant life. And they have a system of value and logic every bit as essential to the human life as scientific logic. And in a certain sense, these spiritual truths may be experienced by us. They have to be experienced by us, but they're not controlled by us. They blow through us. We instinctively recognize their values and engage them the way a sailboat engages the wind. They fill us. We do not invent them. We experience them. And when we consider the kind of spiritual truths that Jesus is talking about today, it all seems kind of obvious. We have Mother Teresa doing acts of mercy in the world that are tangible and change the way the world views their own humanity. Or we have the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's words, which called us to justice and still call us, even after his death. And we have the love in our families, in our communities, that shape us and carve us in small and large ways that truly affect the way we walk in the world and what our hearts and our spirits have room to understand. They're real and significant, even if you can't quantify them or repeat them. And finally, just as Jesus invited Nicodemus to engage this poetic metaphor to understand that one birth is not enough, Jesus also wants Nicodemus and us to recognize that a life that relies only on intelligence and logic is not enough. There's a limit to where our brains can carry us, even if we have very good brains. The life God invites us into is not just a life that we try to master with logic or power or competence. The life God invites us into requires leaps of faith and moments of flexibility, a readiness to wonder, a curiosity about things seen and things unseen. In short, a life of faith asks us to understand and engage the world not just from our heads, but from our hearts and the wholeness in the deepest part of our souls. Jesus wants Nicodemus and us to know that we can't get through life just with our heads. A leap of faith, a leap of heart is required. So Jesus is asking Nicodemus and us to rise to three challenges. Are you ready? Have you already embraced the need to see more than one kind of truth, to engage more than one kind of birth? Do you already know that living truths like the powers of forgiveness and mercy are as essential to us as air? Can your heart take a leap of faith and ride the wind the Spirit brings you? Are you ready to meet Jesus in daylight as well as darkness? Before Nicodemus' death, Scripture suggests that Nicodemus could answer yes to all of these questions. This logical and disbelieving man who was afraid to foolishly seek a second birth came to understand something profound about Jesus and about his own life. And there are two clues in Scripture that tell us that. The first is that we have the story in Scripture. In the dead of night, it was just Nicodemus and Jesus who were talking. And after Jesus' death, the only person who could tell that story is Nicodemus. I love imagining the man who was originally afraid to be foolish in the eyes of the Pharisee, being so sure of Jesus' wisdom that he tells the story on himself and then allows himself to become the butt of Jesus' spiritual joke. Jesus plays the foil. He plays the fool to Jesus' wisdom with his inability to understand more than one birth. And it seems possible to understand that later in life, Nicodemus was no longer afraid to look the fool. Perhaps he grew in faith so much that he learned to hope that his own doubts shared might lead someone else to faith. If Nicodemus, our reluctant Pharisee, had remained unchanged, his story would have been lost to us. It would have died 2,000 years ago in the darkness. The second clue that Nicodemus came to accept Jesus of Nazareth and a life of the Spirit lies a little bit later in John, which tells us that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus revealed themselves to be followers of Jesus in public when they stepped forward to claim the body of Jesus and place it in a tomb in a garden. Scripture describes Joseph and Nicodemus as secret followers of Jesus who are bold enough to ask Pilate for the body and to bury it respectfully before the Jewish day of preparation. So on that day, the man who came in darkness proclaims a kinship with Jesus in daylight on a very dangerous day. A private encounter with Jesus in the darkness brings about a public one. A failure to understand brings about true insight in the end. And faith that seemed dead or stillborn leaps to life when the time is right. On Good Friday, the bleakest of days, Nicodemus's mind and heart are finally turned and tuned to revelation, and he finds boldness that he and we didn't think he had. Jesus says, "Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit.